Thank you. Yeah, amazing grace to be here, really. You know, if you think that I have an accent, you are welcome to come and visit Oman, and you'll hear some accents. Maybe a month ago, I sometimes go to a barbershop. I don't really need to, but I go, and just for the contact, you know, just and the barber was from Pakistan, I think, and friendly as I am, and I asked him, like, what is your name? And he said, name. And I said, yeah, what is your name? Like, you know, my name is Matti, this is my friend, so and so. And he said, I said, and what is your name? He said, name? I said, okay, whatever, you know. And after a couple of minutes that it took to take off my hair, you know, so I was so frustrated because I didn't know his name, right? So after their payment and so on, I said, well, let me ask once more, like, you know, what is your name? What is your name? Like, and he said, name. And I said, no, can't you tell me what is your name, for heaven's sake? I mean, it's like, my name is Matti, what is your name? And then he said, very quietly and humbly, he said, my name is Name. And his name was Name. Yeah, there we are, learning languages, trying, you know, hearing accents that are like some people speak perfect English. Their vocabulary is so amazing. I don't hear them because of the vocabulary. I don't understand what they're saying, and I don't hear because of an accent. But like one guy said to me, like when I'm studying Arabic, he says, why do you care about the grammar? Just speak. And I said, oh, okay, that I never heard that in the school, you know. That's a great idea. Forget about the grammar, just start speaking. And he was fluent in Arabic. Not that he spoke correct Arabic, but he was fluent. It was just speaking. That's the way to go, really. Yeah, I could picture myself in the world as a believer today, looking for a local church, trying to fit in somewhere, as I was in that place 40 years ago, over 40 years ago when I came to our church. And I always felt that I cannot become the way how they want me to become. I didn't fit in many local churches. And there would be invitations, come to our church, come, there is room for you, there's a place for you there. And in my heart, there was this question, like, you know, I know there's a place for me there in your church, but is there room for my failure in your church? Because I'm going to come with my failures. And I need that kind of a church that will take me as I am and keep me and stand for me in all times, for better, for worse. That's the Greater Grace Church and the blessing in the world today. And I'm really proud in that way, that humbly proud, really, to be part of this ministry, and thankful to God for Pastor Schaller and his ministry, for all of you. I mean, coming here, it's like, wow. It's like, I don't know, Christmas, birthday party, all of together, you know. It's like, you know, coming home. It's wonderful. Thank you. I just want to share a couple of thoughts that has been in my heart lately. And this has to do with really the foundation of this whole thing. Like, really, this all is based on God's unconditional love, everlasting love, which is really not known by the world. We live in a world where we think that we have a lot of options and we are kind of trained that way. Push the button, take your next choice, you know, and all these choices, you know, with milk, without milk, with that kind of milk, this kind of milk, you know. And then we start thinking that's the way how life works, because it's, in a way, it's luxury to have all those choices. But I just want to mention three important things that I don't believe that there is a choice, and it's a misunderstanding that to think that we have a choice. And the first one is that man cannot really choose what kind of salvation he gets from God. Like, we cannot see choices like, you know, there is like a lasting salvation or temporary salvation or like, you know, salvation based on works or salvation costing this much or serious salvation, superficial salvation. So there are no choices as such. There is an amazing gift of salvation. You either have it or you don't have it. You receive it, and once you receive it all. And it's this eternal salvation. It's powerful. The second thing is that man cannot really choose the way how God speaks to him. Pastor Schaller mentioned this in a leaders' meeting last summer, I think, that we cannot come on our own conditions to God and ask him to speak to us in a certain way. God speaks, and by God's grace we hear him. He speaks in many ways, and he chooses the way to reach us. And the third thing is that man cannot really choose his call. That's a serious one. All of these are serious, but God has a call for us, and it's based on his love and us, on the fact that if we accept it, we will be amazingly blessed and encouraged and kept and really satisfied fully. But if we don't accept it, it doesn't change the call. God has a call for our lives, and it is to be confident and secure in his love. And the greatest test for love is time. Really, I love you. Well, how long are you going to love me? That's an important question. Otherwise, it means nothing that you love me. You love me now because you get something from me or for some other reason. But how long are you going to love me? Like Jesus loved his disciples to the end in John 13:1. It's an important statement that he expressed that everlasting love. And in a way, love, this kind of love is very slow. It's like we could call it slow love. I love you with slow love. That's why there is no such a thing as fast mission work. That's some kind of a business concept. But it's not really the heart of God. Because mission work is going to take a long time. You're not going to go somewhere and do a work very fast. You can do your own work very fast, but not the work of God. It's going to take a long time. And there are certain, we could say, like high functions or expressions in human behavior that we have to learn. They don't come fast, they don't come naturally. Even as believers, we have to learn them, and learning them takes time, and learning them takes humility. Like, that was one of the themes in the pastor's retreat, that without humility, it's really impossible to learn anything. It's very difficult to teach a person who knows all things, who knows everything, right? Like, when I was working with tourism, I sometimes had that kind of tourist who knew everything. like I had a group of teachers and from Finland and Sweden, and they were all teachers, and the trip was to Siberia and Mongolia. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a great trip, but it was a nightmare because the teachers were all asking questions all the time, and they all knew the answers, and they knew that I don't know the answers. And they loved it. They enjoyed their tour. But a person who knows all things cannot learn anything. We have to learn to believe. Believing doesn't happen naturally as a believer. We are learning it. That's why we come to the church. We are learning to believe. Trusting God, we learn it. We are learning to think with God. We go to the Bible school to learn to think with God. We don't do it naturally just because I'm a believer. I'm not thinking with God. We learn to discern and to choose well, you know, all our choices. It's crucial. It's what we choose, you know. We learn that to discern. This is no. We have to be careful here. We're learning that. We learn to forgive. Don't be surprised that it's so difficult to forgive because it's not naturally in you or in me. We have to learn it. We have to be taught to forgive. We have to learn to love, to care. They are not in us, especially this kind of love that lasts long. That has to be learned. We have to learn to repent. It's not happening naturally. We have to learn to share our faith. All these amazing functions of our Christian life, we are learning them. And the Holy Spirit is teaching us faithfully. And it's amazing with the Holy Spirit that Jesus said that he's called the Spirit of Truth in John 14:17. And he says that whom the world cannot receive. The world would maybe like to buy it from us and say, we just want to get your spirit. Or I would say, no, it's not for sale. You know, Simon tried to buy it, you know, the same power that he saw the apostles have, and he couldn't. That didn't go too well in Acts 8 when he was asking to buy the spirit. God gives the spirit as he wants. And we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us today. What an amazing thing. This is not just a church. This is the presence of God here, the manifestation of God's presence. When I came here this morning to the early service, I don't know, it's just like, you know, I come from a battle. And it's very invisible, and it's I'm living in a country that is not Christian. There are powerful demonic strongholds there, and even though everything works and looks nice, and there is money, and there are, you know, all kinds of things to buy and stuff, but there are powerful spirits there. And we sense it, of course. We don't always remember that that's the thing, but we sense it. And somebody was saying that, you know, I'm on the fridge door, you know, which is very encouraging. You know, that my picture is there and they're praying for me. And I really plead with you because I told that person that, yeah, I sometimes feel that you're not praying. Please, really, our work, the manifestation of God's love through us depends on your prayers. So maybe that's one of the reasons why God gave me this grace to come and visit you at this time. You know, we cannot really write newsletters and tell what's going on because that gets us in trouble. So we are just sending these touristic pictures and somebody says, oh, they're having a good time, palm trees, the ocean, you know. It's true, we are having a good time. But there is the work of God happening and it's us. It's a greater grace. in Oman. So keep us in prayer, especially this week. Some important things are happening, and I need all your prayer support, and thank you for your love and your encouragement. It's amazing. Amen.
Great, thank you, Pastor. We'll be praying. We're going to have a short message now, and we have two doors set up from our tech ops department. We have this one over here in this door, so we'll pull them out and use them as illustration or props for our message. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, great, thank you. I'll see these guys over here. Nope, okay. All right, so we have this also caution tape, because, yeah, so that'll be used too, so put that over here. And let's stand right now for a moment and have a prayer for Pastor Mati and the work in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula and what God is doing in that part of the world. So would you just have a prayer by yourself or with your neighbor just for a moment? Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit power, for the ministry of Christ in the world and in Saudi Arabia, that whole region, Bahrain, Qatar, Yemen, Oman, Saudi Arabia, for your people, for your ministers, for your workers, for your spirit to bring conviction and give people choices. They would choose, they would hear and believe. They have the freedom to choose in their hearts you. The devil says you cannot trust God. The devil says you don't have any choice. The devil says you just be quiet. Mind your own business. You can't do anything about it. The devil says, it's over. This is it. But no, God, you knock on the door. You offer the gift. You hang on a cross. You are raised from the dead. You are the Savior of the world. The answer from the Holy Spirit, the minister of Christ in this world, for your servants and for Pastor Mati and all the workers and all the laborers there and other places, our people and all born-again believers laboring in the fields. Bless them. And here in Baltimore City and the area and our new vision for Owings Mills, that we would have a campus there, a church in Owings Mills, Lord, a new work, we pray. Minister and lead us in it in your name. Amen. Amen. So give your neighbor a high five. Say, good to have you here today. God bless you. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Yeah. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 3. First of all, it's important to understand, especially if you are visiting here, that you would understand how much God loves you. Pastor Bob Colban said, "The lies, the devil's lie is you cannot trust in God." That was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You cannot trust God. He's holding something back from you. He told you couldn't eat of this tree. How narrow. How wrong. The devil takes a situation and spins it and wants to say to you, don't even think about it. You have no choice. You cannot do it. You know, it can't happen. But God came into the world so that we could know more clearly his nature, that we would understand his love, his patience, that we would sit with him, walk with him, watch him sleep on the boat, watch him pray in Luke 11, listen to his teaching. Watch him be angry in Matthew 23. Watch him hang on a cross and say, "Forgive them. They don't know what they do." These two doors, this is just a short message because of the time, and we heard a great message from Pastor, and we can do part two, and we'll have a service here tonight. By the way, we have a lot of visitors because Pastor from Miami is here, Pastor Ken Fires, Pastor Stan Collins, because our pastor's retreat, which was exceptional. It was rich. I am so impressed with the growth and the maturity of the leaders in the ministry. I'm so encouraged because the Spirit is moving and the Spirit is speaking. I wanted to say, just because this is a soft launch, and by sharing it with you, that I am thinking of having the two services here on Sunday morning, the one in the evening, and that one of the morning ones, the 11 o'clock, we'll see how it goes, but that we would be starting another church in Owings Mills and praying about how to do it and when to go and the place that we find and all the work that we can do there, because I believe we have the potential to see new people come. And we have the potential because Jesus is busy doing the work of reaching people who are without choices. Pastor Mati mentioned choices. I think of a fish in an aquarium. It's a fish. It swims. But how many choices does it have? A dog on a leash and a sinner who is a sinner and has limited choices. He's not like you and I, who are born again. And we have another door. You see, we used to have one door in our lives. This was our life. It was this life, this one in here. Oops. That's kind of like how it is. Okay. That is how my life used to be. Okay. And a fish in an aquarium, a man who is limited because he's lost without God. He doesn't have mind renewal. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He has his sin nature, his education, his training. Here's a good question. I'll draw a picture here. Oops. There's a man. and he's a good man, but sometimes he's a bad man. Say to your neighbor, he's talking about you right now. Say to your neighbor, I think he's talking about you. You are a good man, but then you are also a bad. Are you as bad? Here's a question. Are you as bad as you could be? Mm-hmm. What do you think? This is real bad. Right? Real bad. Are you as bad as... Did you hear the sentence? Are you as bad as you could be? Hear that? As I could be. We had a tragedy in Las Vegas. Are you as bad as you could be? Right? Could you be that bad? Good question, isn't it? Some people would say, no, I would never be that bad. I could not be that bad. No, I could. Are you sure? Do you know? I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to enter. I'm talking theology, though. This is theology. Are you a bad person? There was a book written by a rabbi, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Has anybody ever heard of the book? Okay, and he gets it from the book of Job, saying Job is a good person, bad things happen to him. But there could be another book written, Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People? Why do good things happen to me? Bad person. Because actually, there's just two people in the world. There's two people in all of history. There's the first Adam. And the spectrum here is from murder to being morally good. But even though you have never murdered anybody, we don't trust ourselves. We know how bad, we should know how bad we could be, right? We murdered Christ. Christ came into the world and we murdered him. We murdered God. God became a man. And the true nature of man came through those people. That was you and me. We are not as bad as we could be, but be sure to know that anybody here in this world is actually, he may be morally good if you give him enough sandwiches. But the minute he gets hungry, I mean real hungry, I mean, really, really, no food for a couple of weeks. You'll find another kind of man. He'll steal your bread, Proverbs chapter 30. He may kill for food, and so on. I'm just saying the obvious. I think it's clear. Theologically, we understand there's only two. And this one is a world that we have lived in. And I'd like to encourage us in our hearts and minds and understanding our theology, because we are in difficult times and there's an answer from God. But it's not the answer that you think. Our thoughts are not His. Our ways are not His ways. This is a different one. And this is what we want to learn. Okay, so let's say this part of the message will come later. This is about judging, and this is an important part of the message. But guys, I don't want to get into this and not have enough time to cover the good news. So let's just go right to the good news. Amen. Many of you are saying, "Oh, phew, thank you. I need that." Okay. So it's actually a different verse. So it's Colossians chapter 2. My grandson over here, Jonathan, John, he's going into the Marines tomorrow, goes into boot camp. So we just keep him in our mind. He's going to go to boot camp. Well, I thought when he was living with my daughter and son-in-law that he already was in boot camp. But keep him in prayer. I love him and the family so much. I'm so proud of him in the Lord. Colossians chapter 2. You see, the man up on the screen here, if you not everybody can see it, but he needed an answer for his problem. And the answer for man's problem is the cross. Because this is where God solves our problem, and it's through death. When Jesus died there, you died with him. This world, this one, this whole mindset, nature, this world without God was actually judged by God. And God said, it's not my will. This is not my will. All the elements of it, which we are not teaching right now, but all the elements of the fall, the elements of my soul, my mind, without God, a fish in the aquarium. I'm alive, but I'm dead. I have ideas and opinions and so on, but actually I am missing something. And I don't know what it is, but I'm hungry for Christ. I don't even know that that's the word, Christ. I don't even know what I'm looking for, but I'm looking for Christ. You can find it. Dr. Chung in Japan shared with me on the phone. I found it very interesting. He said, in Japan, the people are Buddhists, Shintoists, and other. They have various gods and idolatry and philosophy and secularism and so on. And you know the Japanese people, it's a high-level civilization. And when he, as a surgeon for the American Navy military, working there at a Navy base, shares the faith with the Japanese say, "This is so interesting. We are curious. How can you say that Jesus is the only way, when there must be many ways to God?" And they would come to the Bible study because they're curious. How can you say, you must be proud to say that he is the only way. But when you know him and us, we have Jesus who has given us another way. And when the Spirit of God shows you, it's like, whoa. This is, God is here, and God is big, wide, free. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. And he said, the Japanese people that are believing in their own way, whatever ways it is, it's actually, they come in through here. He didn't say it in these words, but I'm just trying to say it. It's kind of a world that you might think that it is a big open door, but actually it's like a small room. you believe whatever you want to and however you want to live. And when you come into this, you actually find it's not satisfying to you. You can be angry, critical, happy, joyful, doing whatever it is that you live, however you want to, but it's not enough. I'm looking for, I don't know what I'm looking for, but this is all that I have. So you know how it is now in our world, and this is a tragedy. Another tragedy is that people are looking for God in the wrong places. They are also looking for satisfaction. They don't know. And the drug epidemic with the people dying, Pastor Bailey Norman said, in front of the town hall in Marlboro, Mass., there's a little American flag in the ground for every person that has died from overdose this year. And there's more than 2,000 flags. It's across the country. What is it? The world is giving a message, but it isn't this one. And this is the one. It is the only one where God gave his son, where Christ is the way, the truth, the life. He's a person. Yes, he's the only way. Yes, he is. He is the only way. It's the door. It's the answer. It's what God has designed. Well, why wouldn't there be many other ways? It's simply because you don't know. These are the ways of man, and you don't know the way of God. The way of God is narrow, but once you find it, it goes into the broad place of Hosea 4:16. David said, God has put my feet in a large room. What's the difference? This is the world where sin is recognized to be sin, my enemy. This is the world where rebellion is recognized to be rebellion, where weirdness is recognized to be weirdness, where a lie is recognized to be a lie. And this is a world where the lie is somehow justified or rationalized, or this is where we make our excuses or live the way we want to. But there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. My little world. So this is what God did for us. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism. Buried with Christ in baptism. By the way, water baptism, and we have our tank over here, water baptism is the follow-up in obedience after you become a believer. Follow up in obedience and be water baptized as a believer. Believer's baptism. I know some maybe were baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church or Lutheran Church, and that's just recognized as a dedication of your family. And I don't belittle it. I think that with good intentions, they bring the baby to God. But it's not the same as when I'm intelligent enough to hear and make a decision and believe. After I have believed, I follow through with water baptism. But this baptism mentioned is a mystical baptism where we are buried with Jesus. When he died on the cross and they took his body down, we were with him. We were with him. And when they put him in the tomb, we were buried with him. Meaning, in the mind of God, God had made a judgment on us just as he did with his son. We were judged with him. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. All of the law that was written, and the law was written against us here. All of this, the law, if you would bring the civil law, moral law, the religious codes, the dietary laws of the Jews, and all the law that was given here to the Jewish people. And this is all they had. They had their sin nature, and they had the law of God. And they said, we will do it, but they couldn't. Now this law, we have come to Christ, and now this law has no power to condemn us here. We are not under the law. The law itself was nailed to the cross. By way, it exists still, but it doesn't exist to condemn me. It is there in my life. I know what the law says. I understand it. But I understand there is he that is higher than the letter of the law. Like the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath holy. That is one of the Ten Commandments. And that law is given to us. But I understand the law this way. I agree that man should have rest. And my rest is coming not from the cessation of labor. My rest is coming from the person of Christ. He is my rest and my peace. Yes, I believe I should have a day where I get refreshed physically. There should be a day. Yes, I believe in that. But this is more, because there are people on the Sabbath that can worry all day long. There are people on the Sabbath that are planning in their mind all of the work that they're going to do. This is not law. Man cannot live by law. He needs to live by relationship. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that I would understand the mind of God, and that we would not be a judge. For Jesus said, I came not to judge, but I came to save, to forgive. Pastor Monty said, it's hard for man to forgive. And I think of this, I will speak evil of the person that stole $100,000 from me. He took $100,000 from me. This has happened, not to me, but it happened. So a man could say, I want justice. And we would say, we understand. We hope you could get it. But what if you don't get justice? Then I will get revenge. I will fight for, I will look for justice. I will look, I am going to judge that person. They should never have done that. It was wrong. I will go to my grave with this. You see, this is how we can process this whole thing. We understand. Okay. I will not forgive him. So how big is the room I'm in? That thing can eat me. I will not forgive him. I'll not forgive my mother or how she treated me, my father that abused me. I'll not forgive my boss who fired me. I'll not forgive my sister who cut me out of the inheritance and stole my money. I'll not forgive my husband who cheated on me. I'll not forgive my son who never calls me up or cares about me on my birthday. I'll not, no. And then I will tell other people. I will speak evil of the brethren. And even if it's true, I cannot say it. This is speaking evil in James 4, 13, 12, 13. So here's my small world. And this is all that I live in. I'm a fish in an aquarium. I'm a person unforgiving. I cannot forgive. No justice. I look for justice. On Fridays at the White House, Abraham Lincoln on Friday would sit at his desk and he would take military cases and he would forgive the men for running away in the midst of battle. And the head of the War Department would say, why are you doing this? There's a penalty. It'll deteriorate the army. It'll ruin our efforts. There must be judgment. And Lincoln said, mercy is better than judgment. Wow. You see, I lost $100,000, as somebody could say, and this is the thing. There's another way. God, what do you say? He says, forgive. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I am forgiven. I'm born again. Yes, you are born again, but you're going to be, I will put you in the, you are in the jail. You are limited in your life. You have no ministry. You're just like a common person. You're like everybody else in the world. You don't have anything to say. You don't have a power in your life. You don't have anything new or fresh. It's the same old, same old. And by the way, it's getting smaller and smaller as you refuse to forgive. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a lot that happened there. And this is what we must recognize in our hearts and live in and practice and live by faith in what he said. Because it says here in this portion, I don't think I'll read it 15 down to verse 19, but I'll tell it to you in simple words. When I am before God at the cross, I say like this, little picture here. Was it this one? Okay. Lord, I'm not so bad. Here, let's see, in this one. Lord, I'm quite a good guy, you know. And the Lord said, you are a bad guy. You are a bad guy. I go, well, have you seen the video lately in my life, Lord? I see the video. I know who you are. So I am a bad guy. I'm a sinner. But somebody stole $100,000 from me. And the Lord said, mm-hmm. Do you know how? Do you know who you are? Are you judging? God knows that it's wrong. But we're talking about something else now. It's my future. My life, it's ministry, it's God. I have to go get, I got to find that which we said in Japan, they're like hungry. And Dr. Chung said, I have some Japanese people that are so hungry and they have found Christ. And they're so hungry. And you know that feeling that happens in your life when Jesus becomes real for you and you just go, whoa, nobody told me this before. I didn't realize what it is. Wow, I don't know. I'm free. Praise God. I got this whole, like the world seems so big to me now. Like all things are, like things are possible. I didn't realize, actually, God is with me in the morning. God is with me in my life. God is with me in my family. I found it. I found that Jesus is the Christ, the reality that I'm looking for. And go to verse 17. He said, the eating the meat and the holidays by the law are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. The shadow, okay. Law. Let's see, how can we do this? You know. Dear, here I am, and there's a shadow, which is me. Me, shadow. Is the shadow real? Shadow isn't real. There's nothing there. That's just a shadow. Where's me? Me. The law is not the Christ. The law is a shadow of the real thing. And when you find the real thing, you find the real thing. And not the law, but the reality, which is the body of Christ. Now we've learned, when the body of Christ, that means us, we are members of the body, we have learned the reality. We have found love. We have found the peace, the joy. We have found the freedom. We found the body of Christ. Christ dwells in us. And now we say we have a ministry. God called us. God has given us a ministry. There's something beautiful about it. We're children again. We're free. We have the world. That's how come these precious people go to different countries, because they have authority. They have a blessing. They have a ministry. That's why we that are here, we are able to forgive each other and love each other and so on, because we have a ministry of life. That's why we sometimes hang out for an hour or two after the service, because we feel or sense the love, the freedom, the joy, the peace. And yet also we can sense our future, and we sense learning, and we sense like the plan, that God has a plan for us. Whatever age and whatever gift set we might have, it's the same life. So that's the message today. We are born again, and we have been given a ministry. But be careful, because I gravitate to this one. I do. There's in my sin nature. I become judgmental. You know, I look at things and I become judgmental. We look for justice, yes, but in this life, justice isn't always there. In this life, it's Christ on the cross. That's not just. But in this life, God has called us to something, and we have to get over this feeling of like everything has to be correct and every justice has to be here. Might not happen. And what might happen for me is to say to God, God, it's not right. I could have done the same thing. However, I thank you that I haven't. I thank you that your grace is keeping me, and also that I want to learn more about your grace and your mercy, and I want to be a minister of the New Testament, not of the law, but a minister of grace and mercy, a minister of faith, where we are believing and thinking that life is a lot more than just the do's and don'ts, but it's love and freedom and peace. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, the finished work tells us everyone in this room has a new life in Christ. It's not for a select number of people, no. It's for every one of us. It's a new life in Christ. It's for all of us, all, whoever believe. Yes, everybody, all of us. God has given us hinds feet on high places. God has given us the mind of Christ. God has given us mercy that abounds. God has given us sonship, adoption, a name in a book that's eternal. If you are here this morning and you have not yet believed in Christ, this is an invitation to you to believe in him this morning. To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. This is a beginning. Come to that door. Believe in him. He has brought you to that door and say, I'm walking through. I'm accepting Jesus. I'm believing in him as the only answer for my sin. The answer that God gave the world. The answer to be born again, to born of the Spirit. The answer that's from God. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Please say that in your heart. I believe in you. Anyone saying the prayer, would you raise your hand, please? Anyone at all in the auditorium? Raise your hand. Last week we had 2 hands. Week before we had 7. Anyone here? There's a lady down here, right here. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone? Yeah. Anyone else? One more? Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone? Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.